Well, welcome everybody. This is a podcast from the Business and Ethics Conference co-chairs. And my name is Rand Sperry. I am the co-chair of the conference and also the vice chair of the Orange Catholic Foundation. My business is a commercial real estate company with both brokerage and property management and ownership of about 11 million feet around eight different states. And I have as my co-anchor today is Randy Redwitz of the Redwitz CPA firm. Randy has about 140 employees and a couple of different holding companies. And so he's got a good sized CPA firm here in Orange County. And our guest today is Annette Walker, who is president of the City of Hope, Orange County. She is also a past recipient of the Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity. And we welcome her. Just to give you an idea, a little more about her. She's was mentioned as one of the 25 most influential women in healthcare by Modern Health Magazine. And Annette will be in charge of the expansion of City of Hope here in Orange County with about $1 billion of money to build, I think, an Orange County campus here in Irvine in the Great Park. So something even more interesting is that I didn't know is that she is the mother of six children and also grandma of 12. So congratulations on all of that, Annette, and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, man. It's great to be here. It's great to see you guys, even if it's a little bit long distance. I really miss a lot of the personal actions, but it's really great to hear both of you today and to be here with your guests.
Yes, it's good to talk to you. Well, why don't we just dig in? I've got the first question for you, and that is, what is the City of Hope doing to help patients during this time? And I ask that because I assume that you're not dealing with the COVID, with the virus at your hospitals, are you?
Well, absolutely we're dealing with COVID because the cancer patients are among the most immunocompromised patients. So our job is to put out those big defenses to make sure that we are protecting our patients as much as possible. And if our patients do get it, helping them as much as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing I'd have to say about this whole thing is COVID has stopped a lot of things, but one of the things that hasn't stopped is cancer. So imagine you are under cancer treatment in the middle of this epidemic and you can't afford to stop your treatment. Your treatment has to go on. So our hospitals and our patient care sites are dealing with this every day and doing all the things that the best science can tell you to do to make sure that our patients are not exposed.
So if you have a cancer patient who's exposed, how do you handle that?
Well, it depends on their condition. Just like in the general population, if they need hospitalization, we would hospitalize them. And if they don't need hospitalization, we would be treating them at home. But if they do come into, or if they did end up in the City of Hope Hospital, I think this is one of the times where being a cancer specialty hospital would be a great advantage to a cancer patient, because everybody, top to bottom, from housekeepers to every staff member to even security guards, are trained to be ready to receive a cancer patient and to treat all the complications cancer patients have. So we do have particular isolation areas if a patient did have it while they were in the hospital, where we could treat them separate from the rest of the patient population, similar to what other hospitals do. Mm-hmm. But so in that case, we're not different. How we are different is we don't have people coming by our ER worried that they have COVID-19 and the way a general hospital would. We are really cancer patient focused.
Great.
And that, you know, I did a number of years back, I did a tour of, or at least a small tour of City of Hope. And it is so impressive what is being accomplished up there in cancer treatment, and your efforts in your facility here in Orange County. What is that going to be are patients that are going now to the City of Hope, will they move down to Orange County? Are there a lot of patients coming out of Orange County that will find this continuity of care in Orange County now a huge benefit for them?
Well, absolutely. Right now, this past year, 3,200 Orange County residents drove to Duarte for cancer care. And City of Hope, as you know, really specializes in advanced cancer care and research. And so they made that trek. And making a trek on the 405 is bad enough, but making it all the way to Duarte when you're sick is really a burden on the patient and on the patient's family. So our aim is to bring that capabilities right into Irvine in the Great Park, so that wherever you are in Orange County, you're about 20 minutes away from a City of Hope facility and the resources that we're gonna be able to bring to the community.
That's really fantastic.
What stage are you in the development of the campus here in Orange County?
We're very excited that we're finalizing the purchase of a existing building, and we have the design completed for the building. And we have a design nearly completed for a cancer specialty hospital. So on the Great Park site, we will have about 200,000 square foot outpatient cancer center. And then next to it, we'll have Orange County's only cancer specialty hospital. And we're gonna begin construction any day. And as soon as that's done, we're off to the races. So however long it takes us to finish that up, the existing building will need to have TIs done to make it get a medical facility, and the cancer hospital is going to be built from the ground up.
Wow, this is going to be very exciting for Orange County. I think we're certainly all looking forward to being able to have that type of facility here in our own county.
It's going to be really remarkable for people who have cancer needs. And Randy had said a little bit about seeing the breadth of City of Hope if he went to Duarte. I think one thing a lot of people don't understand is the depth of the research that City of Hope is doing. So we have about 400 physicians who are cancer specialists. And then in addition to that, we have 600 researchers and scientists who are researching cancer and diabetes. And some of the work they've been doing in the last couple months is related to COVID, and they're the research that we're doing in immunology could have a COVID application, and we have researchers doing that. And in addition, in our facility, TGen facility, which is an affiliate in Arizona, we have genomic capabilities. And so we're doing about a lot of research, not only on the COVID antigen itself, but the antibodies that would be effective against COVID and what's their genomic signature look like. It's just kind of fascinating the depth of capabilities that City of Hope has.
You have a massive team, 600 researchers.
That makes me feel good.
I feel like I'm in good hands.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And that's why I think our head physician, Dr. Caligiuri, would say is that if unfortunately you ever are unlucky enough to have cancer, you need to seek the advice of people like that to make sure that you're getting the best care wherever you get your care. When someone spends their life 6 or 7 days a week reading everything, researching everything, knows the best and the latest thing to fight something like cancer, you want to take that opportunity to learn that, because your first shot is your best shot.
Wow, that's great.
I didn't realize this until your comments just now. I think I understood the research capability of City of Hope, but it is very much a distinguishing factor, or at least I think it will be, in Orange County here, because there are hospitals, at least to my knowledge, like Mission, who have tried to place a lot of emphasis on cancer treatment. But these are practitioners that aren't really researchers. And the depth and breadth of what you bring to the equation, to the health of the organization, the individual, is mammoth.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'm really honored and proud to be part of an effort to bring this to our community. I know you guys I think you're very similar to me. I've lived here for 40 years, and it's a place I really love. And Orange County is a fantastic community. And to bring this kind of resources to our community, it's going to be a really good thing. Really good.
So Annette, I need to ask you, this wouldn't be a business and ethics podcast. I didn't ask you how ethics is playing a role in your current daily decisions at City of Hope.
Well, you know, I think the things I'm very proud that I think I want to say I really honed an understanding and sensitive to was the importance of leadership and the implications of your leadership and how you make decisions. And, you know, the Sisters of St. Joseph are incredible and their organizations are incredible. But some of the things I learned there about particularly using my faith and how I use my leadership really important. And I'll get just a couple examples of weighing a decision in how it affects all individuals involved. You know, we can't always make everything for everybody, but when we do have to make choices of what we are going to do or how resources are allocated, making them in a just way and considering all parties. And in the case of healthcare, it's really important to consider the whole community, not just the people that have resources and have money, but no individual, no community is well if there's individuals in the community who aren't well, if there's individuals in the community who can't get care. So it weighs on my mind a lot in coming to a community. What are we bringing to the patients and who's going to have access to us? And then another thing that it plays a lot into, I think, is how City of Hope as an organization enters Orange County. You know, I've been really, really strong on trying to help people understand that City of Hope's mission is to beat cancer. No one is going to beat cancer by themselves. We need to work together in how we do that. Cancer is the competition. So how we work with other providers in the community is an extremely important thing to me that, you know, let's all work together and let's beat this terrible thing. One in three of us are going to get cancer. And, you know, the better we can work together as a community, the better all of us are going to be. And I think that that is probably one of the, sometimes it's challenging when you look at the business aspects of healthcare is we really are here for the community. We're not for profits. We need to work together.
Beautiful. Who do you, you know, in that context, you probably have a lot of heroes within the City of Hope, people in different, different fields, different specialties, getting breakthroughs all the time, I suppose. On this march toward complete eradication of cancer, but can you give us one or two examples of kind of a superhero within City of Hope?
Yeah, I'll say one of them that comes immediately to mind is Dr. Ravi Saljia. He's a lung specialist, and he's a very, very kind man, and you know he's the one that he's helped educate me a little bit that, you know, when you say you have lung cancer, I think there's more than 50 different kinds of lung cancers.
Wow.
So anyway, his commitment to his patients and his commitment to City of Hope and helping access his care to Orange County. So for instance, when we opened Newport Beach and we wanted to bring City of Hope specialist into Newport Beach. This is something that is not common for cancer centers like City of Hope. It's more like Mohammed comes to the mountain than the reverse. And he was one of the first people to volunteer to start treating patients and rotating some time into Newport Beach. And it's been an incredible experience for the doctors in the community who've worked with him. His patients who were driving are like so grateful that they can now be treated in Newport Beach. His ability to share his knowledge and teach other physicians at tumor boards the things that he knows because of his expertise has been pretty overwhelming. And I think his just general kindness, every time I talk to him, he says, Annette, just tell me what you need and you know I'm going to be there to help you. So he is definitely someone who comes to mind right away. And I actually think too, I'd say the CEO of City of Hope, Robert Stone, is one of those CEOs that has incredible integrity and the level 5 leader that is talked about. You know, one of the first things when COVID happened was he knew how many of our employees would be worried about job losses. And he went out there and said, no, we're not gonna do that. Be secure that you're gonna be okay with us. And in this kind of times, that takes a lot of guts for a CEO to say that. So I think he's one of my heroes too.
Wow. Well, you know, in the times we're living in right now, do you think that the people have a better appreciation of having such a specialty center like City of Hope here in Orange County? I mean, I know I do. I've got several family members that have had cancer, and I could certainly appreciate what you bring to the table. But do you think there's more awareness now, even more than ever?
I think there's going to be. First of all, I think as Orange County begins to understand the kind of capabilities City of Hope has, they're going to appreciate it. But I also think just even the current crisis of the complications that a cancer patient can encounter versus being in a specialty center in an epidemic, I think there will be more appreciation for that. I can't say that for sure, but I suspect that there's going to be. I mean, you probably could answer that better than I can, is that you're sitting out there kind of seeing it play. Do you have an appreciation that what a specialty center can do in circumstances like this? And I'm sure there are some things that come to mind for you.
Well, for example, I had a son with cancer, and at the time, this is back in the 80s, and of course, Children's Hospital had a specialty. It was the third floor, as we call it, that was all cancer, all oncology. And will City of Hope have a juvenile or children's section?
You know, not at this time, not in Orange County, but I hope we are able to successfully, you know, build some partnerships where our expertise is available to those patients. But it's not currently part of the plan to have a pediatric unit.
Okay. Well, we've got children's, so
yeah,
we're in pretty good hands. Randy?
Well, you had, Rand, you had 6, Annette, you had 6, and we had only 5, so.
Boy, the Pope's going to be calling you, Randy.
Can you imagine right now if we, the 3 of us and our spouses and children and their spouses and grandchildren decided to go to dinner? We'd take up the whole restaurant.
We're against the law right now just to have our family and grandchildren together. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, we're at about 21 total.
Well, we beat us, huh?
I mean, yeah.
It'd be bigger.
What do you got, Randy?
We have 20 in total.
Yeah, we're going to hit 25 this year.
Woo-hoo. So now, Annette, though, we're not done. I mean, we really have just started. We've got only 3 of them that have participated in the grandchild thing so far.
Yeah, maybe you'll beat us. Maybe you'll beat us. But yeah, it's so funny to hear you guys say that, because in a room of 100 people, we would be sitting at a table by ourselves. Not many people have that many children, but I have to say, when I look back on my life, you know, my work has been important and all that, but I know you guys feel the same way. The family is everything, and none of the rest of it would mean much without them.
That's so true. How has this pandemic really changed you personally? Do you care anything in that regard?
Yeah, it has. It's made me really appreciate the importance of, you know, physically being with the people I love, whether it's my family or my friends. It's really odd on Mother's Day. It was really odd on Easter. It's really odd not going to church. And there's things like that that are, you know, they inspire you. And they're rewarding. And then on the other hand, some of the downtime has been good. I'll admit that. I'm more rested. I'm exercising more than I have in a long time. And that part's good. I think in my leadership area, one of the things that's really tested, and I don't know if you guys are finding this, but leading people virtually requires different skills and a different thought process of creating a community. I mean, one of the things I'm really big about with my teams is that we feel very connected, and we have such an important mission with City of Hope that we got to stay tight. We are kind of in the startup mode right now. Mm-hmm. We don't have like 200 people here, so this team dynamic is extremely important, and it's really tested me to find different ways to reach out and talk and make the group feel like a group. We have been off since March 12th, I think. So it's been a long time, and we miss each other, and the same way we miss the family. And it's something I continually think about is creatively, like, how can I make this feel the community stronger through this? So we've even divided one of our meetings a week is all about the business, and one at the end of the week is all about celebrating different things. But I don't know, how about you guys? Have you found similarly, it's a little bit of a different challenge?
It's, it is a challenge. You know, our business, not unlike many, many, many businesses, are so dependent upon collaboration. You know, no one person in our firm, whether it's tax or audit or IT or whatever, has a single solution. And so it really is always dependent upon collaboration of two or more people. And that doing that remotely is certainly more challenging and less effective. There's some professions that can work very, very well remotely. I'm totally confident of that. But our profession really needs that collaboration, and that's tough to bring. You know, I just wanted to share this little side story with you. For Christmas, I got fascinated with this, with the Facebook portal.
Yeah.
And we were advertised on TV a lot. And I thought, boy, wouldn't that be neat? You know, Claudia can sit that up in the kitchen and she can be cooking or whatever the case may be and be chatting with the family members. Well, we now made this a religious experience, so to speak, on Sunday afternoon, where we all get on the portals and connect the whole family and just share the week's experiences together. And even though we're a very close family, in my opinion, this has brought us even closer. I mean, it's really been a fabulous exercise.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little like the Jetsons, huh? Remember them?
Yeah, well, I found that, you know, in a crisis, it either breaks you apart or it brings you together. And certainly in our company, I kind of didn't realize what rock stars we have. We being affected, the commercial real estate business has not been talked about a lot on the news. There hasn't been much conversation like, gee, what's going to happen to it? Is it in crisis? What's going on? A lot is talked about the actual businesses and the small businesses as well as large corporations. But the real estate itself, I mean, we are in a huge crisis in terms of having to deal. We have 1,200 tenants, and we literally had to sit down with every single one of them and negotiate their rent for the next 12 months. And then go to the lenders and negotiate with them so that we can all survive through this. Because it's a trickle-down theory, you know, if commercial real estate collapses or businesses collapse and commercial real estate collapses and so many other jobs fall apart. So it's been a challenge, but I find our staff working 24/7 to solve this problem. And it's been really just amazing. And so I've been thrilled to see what this company can do in the middle of a crisis.
You know, that's great. Actually, I have to say, I really appreciate you said something. I think that's really important is that, you know, you could just look after yourself and not, you know, and renegotiate with your lenders and not worry about your tenants. But And you're absolutely right. We are all as a community gonna have to really pull up our bootstraps to try to support many different aspects of society, because some people are gonna be devastated by the outcome of this. And it concerns me greatly. It's, you know, what are the service workers gonna do? California has, I think we're the third largest state for dependency on tourism. So how many jobs are going to be maybe compromised this year? And that means people paying their rent, people having, being able to, you know, buy food, or just, you know, it's going to be sobering. I heard also too from someone I know who's involved in Catholic Charities. And so I don't know if this is the most exactly accurate number, but something along the lines of they used to bag 400 bags a week and or a day, and now it's like 1,200.
Yeah.
So the scale of the need is astronomical, and it does worry me. But I admire that your company has taken a more global approach, that, hey, it's not just about making sure you win. Eventually, we all win or we all lose.
Yeah. It's we call them, our tenants, part of the Sperry family, when even in our documents. So, you know, it's proving to be true. So, all right, we're just about ready to wrap up, but I do have a question for you. Yeah. I'm taking a little bit of a survey. And what is the number one thing that you've done during this crisis in your personal household, in terms of, for example, you know, getting all your pictures organized from 30 years, or, you know, what is a special project that you have done, worked on while, it could have been reading a bunch of books, I don't know, but I have a number one in terms of people I've surveyed of what their number one thing has been. I'm just curious. Annette, you go first.
Well, my closets have never been so clean. That's what you're talking about, that kind of stuff. But I've also never done so many puzzles.
Ah, that's a good one. Well, closets hits the top three. The garage, I forgot to ask Randy. So Randy, what is yours? I slipped.
You know, I don't have any. I would say, I would just repeat my story about my family, you know, and you know, more reaching out to the family and more communication there, I would say.
All right, well, number one but so far has been the garage. Number two has been their closet. And believe it or not, number three was the bathroom, you know, the medicine cabinet and all that. And the junk drawer. And
yeah,
then,
that's all those things that we just kind of let go for years and years.
Yes, and then pictures. So
pictures. I haven't got to pictures yet. They're on the list for when I get retired. This even quarantine isn't long enough for that one.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, I want to thank you, Annette, for taking the time to talk with Randy and I.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
And I want the listeners to know that we still are on for 2020. Our Business and Ethics Conference will be April 14th, 2021, and at the Irvine Hotel. And we look forward to seeing everyone in person this time next year, pray to God. And again, thank all of you for being on this, and wish you the best of health for you and your family.
Thanks, guys. God bless.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And we so appreciate all your involvement. Thank you.
Thanks, Annette.
Thanks. Been a pleasure.